It's an interesting way the gospel reading ends, isn't it? And they went and told no one because they were afraid. If that had been the end of the story, do you realize that would have been the end of the story? If they told no one, none of us would be here. But somehow, some way, they overcame their fear. The message the angel spoke to those women at the beginning got through into their hearts, and they shared it with others, and who shared it with others. And now, almost 2 billion people later, we're here today, celebrating, enjoying, and affirming that Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. That's why we're here, because this wonderful message that someone shared with us. I mentioned at the start of the service, I was 21 before I became a Christian. Someone bit by bit had shared the message with me and made it real. And I hope in some way I can try to make Easter real for you as well. And this really hit me this past week. I think some of you know, maybe many of you know, that besides being blessed to be the pastor here, I'm also a chaplain. I work at Bentaub Hospital, and one of my areas of working is in the psychiatric center. There was a young man in there. He's dealing with depression. Interesting set of circumstances. He tells me the story about his dad saying to him when he was a little boy, and I have to take my glasses off to do this right. His dad would come up and rub and gouge at his eyes saying, "Don't you cry. Little boys don't cry. Men don't cry." And so he's been fighting to not cry all of his years. Then his dad was gone for a long period of time in his life. And when his dad came back, he was very sick. He was dying of a serious disease. And he said to his son, "I'm sorry for what I told you and what I taught you. You should express your emotions. You should share your heart. You should feel free to do that. Try to forget what I said." And then sadly, he died very shortly after that conversation. This young man is not only dealing with the depression of losing his father at a young age, but with how does he get out a message that was ingrained in him for years to not show emotion? How does he live freely to show it today? And it was just a really amazing experience to try to discuss with him that his father was offering him the same gift that Jesus is offering to us. You know, those women were wondering, who's going to open up the door? Who's going to get that stone out of the way so we can get inside and take care of Jesus' body? And that father gave a gift to his son. "I'm opening the door. I'm trying to get you to live a normal, free, emotional life that every one of us ought to be able to have." And so one of his drawings he did in our talk together was a drawing of an open door with a silhouette of his father behind it. And it moved me to tears as he told me the story and shared it with me. And I hope that all of us can be moved and realize that there is not just an open tomb, there is an empty tomb. And there's not just the silhouette of a father standing there saying, "Come live a free life." There is a risen Savior with nail-scarred hands. There is a heavenly Father who accepted Jesus' sacrifice on the cross so we can be free emotionally, spiritually, relationally, in every way. There is a heavenly Father welcoming us, and there is a Son, Jesus, who says he is there for us. And if it takes angels to get the message across, God will do it. What is that message? That message is that God loves us. That message is that God loves us. And he meets our greatest needs. He frees us. Frees us from what? He frees us from death. Death is destroyed. That father is still alive, waiting to welcome his son into heaven. As I know, many of our relatives are also welcoming us. Not just because they were good people, because somehow they qualified or they won a golden ticket into heaven. They're there because they believed the message of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and Jesus' eternal life available to everyone who trusts in him. That's what Paul said in that epistle reading. That's what you believe, right? That's the gospel that we take our stand on. That's what gives us hope and freedom in this life. And the Old Testament reading tried to get at this. He will swallow up death forever. I still work in the hospital. I still see heart monitors come to a stop and patients breathing cease, that does not mean they are dead. Oh, yes, you know, there'll be a death certificate given here on this earth. That person's eyes are wide open in heaven. That person is breathing in the fresh, free air that Jesus has there for us in eternity. That person is welcomed home and healed and is waiting for us to join them. And when we've been there 10,000 years, we will see also how beautiful and precious it is that he swallowed up death on our behalf. And notice how the passage goes on. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears, not a gouging, not a you stop that, but a tenderness, a tender wiping of the tears as he shows us his incredible love. He loves all of us, and he will wipe away the tears from our faces, the tears from our failures, the tears from our struggles, the tears from our grief, the tears from our fears, like those women on that first day, all of the tears wiped from our faces. Now, right about now, I don't know about any of you, but when I was hearing God kind of say this message to me, my thought was, why don't we see more of that now? Why does it seem like this reality is still so hard? And I want to offer to you what God whispered to me in that moment getting ready for this message. And that was, don't be alarmed that you don't see it all happening at once. Let's think through that Easter morning, right? Those women had watched Jesus offer his life on the cross for them. They had watched him be buried. They are assuming he is still in that grave. And they're going there to honor him and to take care of his body according to the customs of their faith. But he's not there. For them, it's a head-scratch moment. What does this mean? It takes an angel to explain it. But even as the angel says it, it's still so confusing to them. If you remember the story, we started mentioning it. They didn't say anything at first. What was the message? The message was, he will go ahead. Don't be alarmed, the angel said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene. He was crucified. He has risen, and he is not here. See the place where they laid him. It takes a while for our understanding of the resurrection to enter into our minds and our hearts and to really grasp that forever means forever. That destroying death really means destroying death. It takes a while for us to have it move from our head to our hearts, and it takes a while for some of the implications of it to work our way out into all of our lives. Years and years ago, when I first started in ministry, I was a youth pastor. I know you might think, well, how'd you ever have the energy for that? I'm just glad God gave me that energy back then. But as we're having this pool party, one of the senior saints of our church opened her home up every year for the youth to have their back-to-school pool party. And so, you know, you got 30, 40 youth jumping in the pool, being crazy, having a great time, and every once in a while they're running up, Miss Jenny, thank you so much. Miss Jenny, thank you for sharing your home. Well, Miss Jenny was in the shade. Miss Jenny was off to the side as others took care of the snacks, because for the previous 2 years, Miss Jenny had been fighting lung cancer. Never smoked a day in her life. Never was around smoke. Who understands these things? Sometimes the implications get clearer later. I don't know that I'll ever understand that. But here she was in very serious pain, very weak and struggling, but would not stop sharing. Because the resurrection reality had really sunk into her. And Ginny wanted to give all of that to all of us. And that's what the angel's trying to say. You may not understand all that. It may take a while for it to work out. But I want you to go. Go and tell others. It'll make sense in the going. It will make sense when we act in faith on it. And we're stepping out to do the things that he offered to us. And I know it's a little tiny detail that maybe could get missed, but there in that verse you see, it says, go tell his disciples and Peter. Why did the angel bother to stop and say disciples and Peter? Well, if you read the whole story of the gospel, Peter's the one that said, oh, Jesus, I love you so much, I'll never leave you. Oh, Jesus, I'm so enthusiastic and full of energy for you, I'd even be willing to die for you. And then it was, I don't know him. Never heard of the guy. Three times. Peter failed. Peter had stumbled. Peter hadn't taken his stand along with Jesus. And for anyone in this room or anyone hearing these words who's ever failed, whoever feels you've done some sin that disqualifies you some way, somehow, that God, you know, it's too big, it's too great, or God won't forgive it, hear this wonderful gospel just for you. That the angel said, go tell all the disciples and even Peter so he doesn't feel excluded. I want him to know resurrection. I want him to know forgiveness and freedom. I want that grace of God to have an effect. And it takes a while for it to work. But you know, once it got into Peter, it completely changed his life. It got into him and made him the boldest preacher ever. On average, wouldn't this be something? On average, every time he preached a sermon, 3,000 people became Christians. That's why the church grew to 2 billion so fast, right? Because Peter just was full of that boldness, and the grace of God had an effect on him. It even had an effect on the Apostle Paul, who, before it was the Apostle Paul, was trying to destroy the church. And now he's the one who ends up writing half of the New Testament. And the grace of God will have an effect on you. It'll make you stronger than you think you can be. It'll help you do things that you didn't think you could possibly do, or help you stop doing something that you've struggled to stop doing for years. The grace of God can have an effect on us all. For some of us, it'll be change. For others of us, it will be comfort. For some of us, it'll just be strength to keep on keeping on. But God's grace, his love he has for you, the love he showed when he released Jesus from the tomb, when he set him free and gave us the free hope of heaven, that grace will have an effect. So have hope. Have hope that the answer is coming, even if it isn't clear yet. Have hope that the God who conquered over sin and the grave is going to help you conquer whatever obstacle is in our way. And if Jesus can do that, if he can overcome sin and death, the devil, the grave, all of it, if he can overcome that, he's going to help you overcome too. So, have hope. Even have joy. Share the message when it happens with others. Hey, look at what God's doing to me. Look how different I am, or how freer I am, or how stronger I am than I used to be. That's all God, the resurrected Jesus, working in me. May you experience that strengthening hope. May you find that joy that's there because Jesus and his grace is going to have an effect, a good effect on you and in your life. For he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.